Scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be from the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
First of all, welcome. We have a number of visitors today, and I'd like to welcome you here and pleased to have you. And try and stick around for a few minutes and let us say hi, get to know you. If you're from out of town, wish you well on your future journeys. Today, I'm going to talk about I believe. I think at some point everybody asks, well, why do I believe what I believe? Or you've run across people who says, or ask you the question, well, why do you believe what you believe? And today I'm going to kind of go over a lesson that just kind of hits the highlights of that, that talks about, well, why is it I believe what I believe? Everybody, I think is the mic working? Just want to make sure before I get too far. Yeah, okay. Everybody, I think, asks that question. And in Acts 17:11, which was the scripture reading, says that they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And they were examining them to verify, to understand them, to know, you know, what they believed. So I know why I believe, but let me see if I can get this to work. I'm hitting the right one. There it goes. You know, it's not... Let's first look at why it is not because. And the first one is, hopefully we dutifully, what if I spelled it right, follow what some organizations, man-made religious, etc., had said. So it's not because we follow some organization. For instance, a number of denominations have yearly conventions, and in those conventions, they decide, well, what are denominations going to follow? You might have followed in the news. A great example of that is this whole question about homosexuality. I think it's the Methodist Church that has had a split recently because the group that comes together that makes these decisions had decided, okay, we're going to allow homosexuality. Well, half of the Methodist Church didn't want to follow that. Yeah, here was an organization dictating what they would follow, even though the scriptures are extremely plain on this situation, yet it's whatever the Catholic Church, whatever the Pope wants to decide, they're going to follow that. It's not because we trust our parents, our grandparents who brought us up to believe. You know, one of the things I've noticed as you get older, which some of us have gotten a lot older, is the fact that as a young person often, you know, as they're growing up, will trust what their parents are telling them. But they reach a point in their life when they start questioning things and and especially in our society today with the things that go on in our education systems, in our social medias, in our televisions. It's definitely making our young people question these things and looking at it saying, well, why is it I'm believing what I believe? And as Christians, hopefully we're teaching our kids, and we'll look at that a little bit here in a little bit, but we're teaching them why they believe that, and not just having a faith that's founded in the scriptures, but not just because this is what my parents told me. Also, it's not because we we blindly accept what the experts or scholars say about things. For instance, like I said, because as an example, they go to the universities and this guy has a PhD in religious philosophy, and because he has a PhD, oh, well, he must be an expert, and so what he's saying must be correct. Yet, do the scriptures really say that? Are the experts that tell us, well, Genesis can't be correct, and it must be some mythological thing, and so, you know, you can't accept Genesis as being scriptural. Yet, when you do that, then all of a sudden, the whole set of scriptures start falling apart. And the other one, it's not because we understand desire to fit in with the world, and we even see that in a lot of Christian religions today. Well, you know, if we don't accept homosexuality, if we don't accept any of this woke philosophy that's going around, well, people aren't going to attend our services. They're not going to come listen to us. So we better accept and blend in with society if they're going to attend. Yet we understand that desire to fit in is not why we believe what we believe. So the question is, well, why is it because? What is it because I believe what I believe? Well, first of all, we believe that the Bible is the Lord's only authorized communication with us today. And when we look at that, first of all, it claims to be the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it said, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Focusing on that first part, all scripture is inspired by God. So if all scripture is inspired by God, such as Genesis, mentioning Genesis, then it should be profitable, it should be accurate as it was given. Also in 1 Corinthians 2:6-16, the writer there talked about a number of things. In verse 6, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passed away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. And then in verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And then in verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combine spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And then in 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Next, it is unique in its perfect perfection. And three things there we want to look at. One is in its truth. Psalms 119 and verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. And then in its completion, wrong one. In its completion, 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and existence. And then in its profitability, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. He's saying all scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for the teaching, reproof, and correction, for training in righteousness. It's also because, so we believe and practice what the Bible says, and we do not go beyond what is written. In 1 Peter 4...
Hi, everyone. My name is Jordan, and I'm a part of Rock City Worship from Rock City Church in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm so excited to share the verse of the day with you. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is...
Sorry about that. I bumped my iPad. Now I got lost. Oh, 1 Peter 4:11. Whosoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whosoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So we believe and practice what the Bible says, and we do not go beyond what is written. And as it says, whosoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance is God. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:6, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for you, set for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. There again, focusing on the fact he said, we may learn not to exceed what is written. So we believe and practice what the Bible says, and we do not go beyond what he has written. It is because we believe that there is a right way to understand and interpret the Bible. There is a right and a wrong way to interpret. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And then in 2 Timothy, Second Timothy 2:15. Excuse me, let me read that 2 Peter 1:20 again. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. And then 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, present yourself to prove to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And then oversimplification, in other words, keeping a text in its context. When you look at the context, three things we want to ask ourselves is, first of all, who is the speaker and the hearer? In Matthew, an example was Matthew 4:9, where Christ was tempted in the wilderness. And in verse 9, he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. You know, if I just want to take the words, all things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me, and just look at that, well, okay, well, what is wrong with that? But if you apply it to the context of Christ, of the devil speaking to Christ, Christ pointed out the error of that teaching in the wilderness. Also in John 4:24, you have to look at, says God is a spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The question being here, who was John talking to, which was the woman at the well, and who is the listener? In that case was the woman, and talking to her about and when they were talking about where the true worship was, and Christ was pointing that out. Also, the message and what is the purpose of that message. In Titus 1:12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. If you just took that one sentence and said, oh, okay, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons, sounds like it's a fact. But if you look at the whole context of Titus 1:10-16, he was talking to about those of the circumcised of the Jews to the, in Titus. And he says, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcised, must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men, and turn away from the truth. So if one was just to look at that, you would have to assume Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. But in the whole context of the writer, he was trying to show how these Jewish men were leading the church astray. And then, literally or figuratively, as we look at some of the language, as an example in Revelations, in Revelations 2, 1 through 3, he talked to them about, "To the angels of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, say this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you do put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have tolerated the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." And then also in Revelation 5:8, then he talks about, he then switches over, the writer does, to some figurative language. "And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are prayers of the saints." And even more so in Revelations 14:1-5, when he's talking about, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of a loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harp. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth." Some people want to take that 144,000 and say that's the whole number of people that are going to be saved, taking it totally out of context of the figurative language that it is. So when we read and study the Bible, we properly need to interpret using proper hermeneutics. And sometimes when you look at that word hermeneutics, it means the study of the method and logical principles of interpreting the Bible. What are the methods and logical principles is really all that word means. And so are we looking at it the right and the wrong way to interpret? Are we over using textual context? Who's the speaker? Who's the message and the purpose? And is it literal or figurative language? Also, is it because we believe that there are right ways to determine what is also we believe that there is a right way to determine what is authorized for us to do, which you can consider a method called SINAI. And that stands for, the first part of that C stands for divine command. In Acts 2:30-39, where Paul, Peter was talking at the day of Pentecost and talking to the people. And during his discussion, jumping down to verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. So there, he gave a specific command for them to repent and be baptized. The second part of that is the example in Acts 2, 40 through 47. And many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received the word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So there we have an example of where these people heard the word and acted on that word and were baptized. The N stands for necessary inference. In Acts 8:30-39, you have the example of Philip, who meets up with the Ethiopian eunuch and teaches him on the way. And finally, in verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning from the scriptures, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. So there you have an example of a necessary inference, that of an example of where this one heard the word and then acted on that word to be baptized and accept Christ. So if we properly consider these things in order to properly apply the Bible, then you have an answer to those who might come to you and say, "Well, why is it you believe these things? Is it because, as I looked at earlier, is it because of what my parents taught me? Is it because of what some preacher or somebody with a PhD has said? Well, it must be true." And which really goes right back to the scripture reading, how they search the scriptures daily to see what was so. Which, for us as Christians today, we should continually search these scriptures daily to be able to give an answer as to why we believe what we believe. Because if we try to rely on other men to justify why we believe what we believe, it will always fall flat. So, at this time, if there are some here who have failed to look to God, look to Christ for their answers, look to the scriptures, we offer this time for people to be able to come forward, to repent, and to ask for forgiveness or accept the Lord and be baptized. So let us stand as we sing the invitation song.